Hello, fellow realists. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSign for Thursday, May 25th. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valuesign.com. Well, today, three global events and their impact on the world's economy. From my point of view, there are three major factors that are affecting the global economy, and unfortunately, all are aligned to produce a negative impact. First is the war in Ukraine. War is always a dismal event, with violence and the loss of life reprehensible. Much has been written about this war, especially from those of us who look on from the West, with ringing condemnation from NATO and America. But little has been said about the full impact of this particular war from an economic perspective. And from that perspective, the war will hit in two phases. Phase one has already begun. Together, Russia and Ukraine supply much of the world's commercial fertilizer. The principal commercial types of fertilizers that farmers use is nitrogen, potassium, and potash. Russia and Ukraine are the chief suppliers of these types of fertilizers, and the need for them is right now. Although the impact won't be felt until next fall's harvest season, it's planting season right now, and that's when we need the fertilizer. Now, the U.S. is a major importer of these Ukraine and Russian fertilizers, and we will certainly not be immune from their loss. Look for major price hikes and possible shortages in the fall as our crops fall below what is normal. The second major factor facing the global economy is the Chinese zero-COVID policy. This is the policy that has locked down the world's number one port, Shanghai, originator of much of the products and components that the West needs to have a fully functioning economy. If you've seen empty store shelves at your local department store, it's likely due to this closing of Shanghai and the zero-COVID policy. Just yesterday, Shanghai's Premier Li Qingquan indicated that China is experiencing the worst quarter since the dreadful second quarter of 2020. Premier Li went on to say that they would do everything possible to keep the Chinese economy moving forward, but there were no guarantees. So the second macro factor affecting the world's economy is this Chinese COVID lockdown. Finally, the third major factor affecting the global economy is the reaction by the U.S. Federal Reserve to America's bout of inflation. The latest two readings on the Consumer Price Index have both been above 8%, a level of inflation that hasn't been seen in this country in over 40 years. Now, the reaction by the Fed has been to put on the monetary brakes, taking away their monthly bond purchases and raising interest rates, all in an effort to slow inflation. Now, frankly, from my point of view, the principal cause of the rise of inflation is the battle that Joe Biden is waging against oil, with gasoline and other fuel prices being the number one cause of inflation by far. But we will leave that discussion for another day. The point right now is that the Fed has gone on a monetary tightening spree. And based on the FOMC minutes released yesterday, it looks like that restrictive monetary policy is here to stay for a while. And when the number one central bank in the world tightens, the effects are felt literally around the globe. So here are the three principal macro factors that I see as impacting the international economy right now. First, the war in Ukraine, with its reduction in fertilizers now and lower grain supplies in the fall. Second, China, with its zero COVID policy and its lockdown of the world's largest port. And three, the Federal Reserve's tightening of monetary conditions here and in international trade. Now, the good news here is that we may be just weeks away from seeing some relief in these conditions. Rumor has it that as soon as June 1, just a week away from right now, China may reopen Shanghai. This would go a long way in easing shipping and supply issues around the world. And second, harvest season, it's a long way off right now. Perhaps by the time it comes around, we'll have some resolution in Ukraine. And finally, as to the Federal Reserve, This current wave of selling in the stock market is a mighty powerful inducement for the Fed to reverse its course and once again to start monetary easing. It's an interesting time right now, but these are the three major factors that I see affecting our economic world. So moving over to today's economic reports, we just had a major data dump, as the street likes to say. A release of several economic reports by the various government agencies and independent bureaus. Today's particular data release gives us a perfect bird's eye view of the overall economy. And the first conclusion? The macroeconomy is at least as bad as we previously thought. Today was the second revision of the GDP. Next month will be the third and final. GDP actually dropped another 10% to a -1.5% for that critical second quarter of the year. Now, I know a lot of people on the street were hoping that the first report was an outlier and that this number would improve today, but not so. The overall economy is at least as weak as first reported and probably weaker. Essentially, this is saying that the economy in the second quarter was at recession level, not yet called a recession officially. That would take another quarter just like this one. But economic activity was consistent with a recession. And what's the more remarkable is that this followed one of the strongest economic quarters in recent memory. First quarter GDP, you'll remember, rose at nearly 7%. So we went from one of the best quarters in years to one of the worst, indicating just how weak the second quarter really was. It's a dire warning going forward. Now, the other major trend in these reports was that inflation continues to roar ahead. There were three measures of inflation, and all were higher. Basic inflation, as measured by the GDP, was up 1 full percentage point during the quarter, and that's a huge jump. But if you dig a little further, you'll find that inflation was concentrated in food and energy. Those blankety-blank gasoline prices, if you will. Take away food and energy, and inflation does not appear to be much of an issue. The core inflation for the quarter rose only 0.1%. Not bad, considering all else. So we have clear evidence of the primary drivers for this inflation. It's food and energy. Now, following the inflation number came consumer spending. And normally we would assume that any increase in consumer spending is a positive. And we did see that increase in the second quarter. However, as we just saw, the consumer is having to pay up for gas and food, and that's where the spending comes from. Finally, the report that is going to hit Wall Street right between the eyes, corporate profits. For investors, corporate profits are those earnings that we base our stock price on. Today came the first look at Q1's corporate profits, and to say this is a shock is a real understatement. Wall Street was looking for so-so profits, rising about 0.5%, slightly above the previous reading. Instead came the real shock of the morning. Corporate profits went negative in a big, big way, falling more than 4.25%. So rework those spreadsheets, boys and girls. This is big time. Think the stock market is overvalued? Think again. It's really, really overvalued if this number is anywhere near correct. Price-earnings ratios just went through the roof, as the earnings part, the denominator, just cratered. Perhaps there are some fundamental reasons after all for all this stock market decline. So overall, the reports presented this morning show an economy that is at least as weak as we thought, with the real surprise of the morning being that precipitous drop in corporate earnings. And that's the value side for this Thursday, May 26. For all of our podcasts and blog posts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Ravel. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.